Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Hello, friend, and thank you for joining us for another week here on Hope for Today. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, and we are honored to be teaching from God's Word and broadcasting the teaching around the world each week via radio. This program will be translated and broadcast in 23 different languages, and our goal is that your relationship with Christ will be strengthened through our time together. Today, our study in John comes through the crucifixion of Christ. The crucifixion and resurrection of Christ are the most important events to ever take place on this planet. We will never completely grasp the impact of this event on this side of heaven. But let's take some time now to think about it and worship our Savior for this incredible story. Before we turn to John 19 and read about the crucifixion there, let's look at the verses in Isaiah 53. Remember, Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus, yet these verses are precise, and they have been fulfilled perfectly in Jesus Christ. I would like to read verses 3 to 9. Think about how incredible it is for a prophecy to be fulfilled so accurately 700 years after it was first written. I will point out a few phrases as I read that had been encouraging to me. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Here is a perspective of the crucifixion we must keep in mind. Jesus carried our griefs and sorrows. As humans, we have felt the brokenness of earth living. No matter what it is, you can take it to Jesus. He understands. Verse 4. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. These last phrases are huge for us. Because of what Jesus went through, we can have peace. We can be healed. Think about that. Healing and peace. Two things this world so desperately needs more of. It's found at the cross of Jesus. And there is enough healing there for all the sin in the universe. And the peace offered at the cross is big enough to calm all the chaos in the world. We must take his healing and peace everywhere we go. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This explains why the crucifixion is the focal point of all time. It solves the biggest disaster humanity has ever seen, the disaster of sin. And it's even more personal. It deals with the problem of my sin. My iniquity has been put on Christ, and he has made it disappear. Notice how, in these next three verses, the smallest detail came true in the crucifixion. Isaiah wrote this long before Jesus, yet each phrase has happened. This is amazing and helps us trust God and believe his word. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. There was no sin in Jesus. This is why his sacrifice is so powerful. He was perfect. This account in Isaiah lines up exactly with the story as we hear it in the Gospels. And I am so thankful God has validated his word with prophecy that is fulfilled perfectly. And we hope you will continue to be encouraged with this story of the crucifixion. As we look at John 19 and give our attention to Bible teacher J. Mark Horst for more teaching, thank you again for being there and joining us for this lesson.
The most solemn event of recorded human history is the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. His life has challenged many men and women to live right all down through the centuries. Many have suffered death because of their faith in him. The Bible records leave us no room to doubt that he was actually crucified. He was put to death. And it is to this solemn event that we give attention in this teaching time today. You know, there are records outside of the Bible which also testify to the crucifixion as a historical event. This is no idle tale or fancy story. This is history, well validated by the record in John chapter 19 and verses 16 to 22. So I invite you to listen carefully as I read these verses from John chapter 19, beginning with verse 16. Then he, that's Pilate, delivered him, Jesus, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was this: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title was read by many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city. And the title was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews, but write, 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Now, when we study what happened when Jesus was crucified, we must examine the vital facts. I want you to picture them in your mind so the Holy Spirit can give you understanding. The first fact we see is the character of the companions. We read, "Then he delivered him unto them to be crucified, and they led him away." Undoubtedly, reference is made here by "they" to the soldiers and to the people. The Roman soldiers were framed in such heartless actions. So they led Jesus to the common place of execution, Golgotha. That hill of the skull, my friend, is still visible today. Oh yes, in my mind I have pictured him there on the cross. What is the character of his companions that were crucified with him? The text tells us there were two others. Mark's gospel reports that they were thieves. Luke's gospel calls them malefactors. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, predicted he was numbered with the transgressors. Yes, 1, 2, 3. These two others crucified with him were sinners, serious sinners, men upon whom the law had a claim because they had broken it. His companions in crucifixion were sinners. And then a second fact is the intention of the title. We're told that Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross of Jesus. And this is what it read: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I suppose Pilate did that to humiliate Jesus. It would be a sorry end for someone who wanted to rise on the political scale. To end up on a cross was the worst kind of death, a humiliating experience. It would be a way for Pilate to dispose of a political enemy. It was most likely intended to give a blow to Jesus. But you know, I also suspect that the intention of the title was to humiliate the Jews. It was to remind them that they were securely under the thumb or under the authority of Rome. Here was the King of Jews suspended between heaven and earth on a wooden cross. He supposed all their hopes were dashed. Pilate hoped I believe that he could humiliate the Jews in this way, as well as humiliate Jesus. But he didn't know, of course, that Jesus had told Peter in the garden that he could pray to the Father, and the Father would send him 12 legions of angels that he might be delivered from his captors. But the Lord had added, "But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled?" So Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, was written in three languages and put above him there on the cross. Those languages were Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So everybody passing by could read it. They could read it in a language they could understand. And the intention of the title seems to have been to put a stop to any idea that Jesus was a king. And then there is a third fact about the crucifixion. It is the inflexibility of the verdict. The leaders of the Jewish people came to Pilate, and they objected to that title. They said, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but write instead, 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Well, really, Jesus never said that. Pilate had tried to extract it from him. The Jewish leaders did not know that Gabriel had told Mary that she would give birth to Jesus, and he promised her that God would give to him the throne of his father David, and he would rule over the house of Jacob forever. But these men did not know that. So Pilate, with a show of power, refused to change it. He said, "What I have written, I have written." Could he have remembered that Jesus had told him shortly before that he had no power except that which was given to him? Beyond this title that Pilate gave to Jesus, the Bible refers to Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pilate's inflexibility regarding the verdict may have showed more power than he himself possessed. And so it cannot legitimately be doubted. Jesus was crucified. All the records agree, and the facts support the truth. He was crucified. But before any benefit from that can come to you, you must acknowledge those facts associated with his crucifixion and receive him as your only sacrifice for sin.
Thank you, J. Mark, for today's teaching from God's Word. And thank you for joining us. It is a privilege for us to study God's Word and learn from it. Now, take what you heard and put it into practice. The teaching and instruction in the Bible is for us, and it is meant to be lived. And we want to bless you as you follow Jesus and share him with those around you. If you have any questions, or if you would like today's teaching, just contact us and ask for it by title or tell us the passage. We also have a study guide available designed to help you learn more from each lesson. It is called the Hope Herald. Please let us know if you're interested, and we'd be happy to give you one. Here are several ways you can reach us. The quickest and easiest way is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the third way you could contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please check out our website for this teaching and other similar teaching. There, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. We thank you again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as Pastor J. Mark continues teaching from the Gospel of John. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with this blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.